Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Perek Lamed, the 30th chapter in Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a longer perek, it's 73 psukim. A little bit complicated to understand all in its depths, but let's try to appreciate some of the details that we see over here. So the first thing we're going to notice is the first section talks about misplaced trust. It describes, woe to the wayward children who seek to sin by going to Mitzrayim without consulting Hashem. That means to say that they trusted in Egypt, seeking Egypt's protection against their enemies, rather than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeshayahu tells them that their trust in Egypt will turn to disgrace and embarrassment. How so? Because what they'll do is they'll send immense gifts of gold and silver down to Egypt, but Egypt will take them arrogantly as if they're a benefactor, but ultimately be exiled before them. And when this happens, Yeshayahu describes how all of the possessions of the Jews will be taken away, carted away on different animals, and Egypt will not be able to lift a finger to help to protect them. So Yeshayahu talks about this being written down. He describes that this is going to be laid down as testimony that in future this will happen. And why is this going to be happening? Because we sinned by seeking other powers than Hashem. The people are actively denied wanting to learn from the Nevi'ah MS, the true prophets, and rather turn to those oracles that told them that everything's all right and that the life you're leading is just fine and everything should be all right if you carry on in your misguided path. And they essentially told them, and the last pasuk of the section closes by saying, Suri mine derech hatum mine orach, they told you to go in the wrong direction, Hashpisu miponenu es kadosh Yisrael, to remove from us the Holy One of Israel. That's essentially what these forces were essentially saying to you. This is what Yeshayahu it describes in the first section of this parak. Basic question is, who is he talking to? Which audience, which time in history is Yeshayahu referring to? So Radak says, look, we know that Yeshayahu is the prophet to four kings, Uzziah, Yotam, Ahaz, and Chizkiyahu. Now we know, if we read through Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim, there is no mention of Israel going south to seek out help militarily from Egypt during the times of Uzziah or Yotam, during the first two kings. And at the same time, there were also more successful reigns. There was less of an enemy on the border issue during their reigns. There is later on in the times of Ahaz and Chizkiyahu, which makes sense that perhaps this is talking at the time of Ahaz and Chizkiyahu Melech. So towards the end of Ahaz's rule, the evil father of Chizkiyahu and Chizkiyahu himself. Because what the Mefarshim point out over here is that actually, if you look very carefully, when Sennacherib makes his advance to the southern kingdom of Yehuda, the siege of Jerusalem is actually the end of his campaign. His first campaign is to destroy hundreds of villages in the area of Yehuda, which means to say that the people living there obviously did not have the schus of succeeding against Sennacherib. Why was that? So the suggestion is made is because specifically of this chapter. This is the human voice Yeshayahu is giving to this period of time. And what is happening is those people sought out other sources. They sought out Egypt, and Egypt was in fact exiled before they were. So referring to this time over here, even in the times of Chizkiyahu, where Yerushalayim will remain as a bastion, it is not going to be successful for the rest of the area of Yehuda because of their mistrust or their misplaced trust. So Yeshayahu continues the next section, running from Pasuk Yud Beis through Yud Daled, and he says, because of this misplaced trust, Ko Amar Kadosh Yisrael, so says the Holy One of Israel. Of course, this is a play on words, because the false prophets are telling them to forget Kadosh Yisrael. So the Kadosh Yisrael is responding, and the Holy One of Israel responds and says, Yan Ma'aschem B'davar Hazeh, because you despised me in such a way, and you trusted in these other forces, well, the walls will start to crumble. Keperetz nofel niveba choma niskova. Asher piton lepeta, your voice shivra. And suddenly it will start crumbling in certain areas. Little cracks here, little cracks there, and suddenly all in one shot, crumble to the ground as nothing. And it'll be destroyed to such a degree that there won't be even shards or pieces of the wall left enough to stoke fires or to collect rainwater in them. That's how much the destruction of your fortification will fall when trusting in other forces. What is this marshal trying to tell us? So the Mitzudas David points out that you think it's a small sin. You think seeking military alliances, coalitions is, you know, okay, we're doing our hishtadlus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. It's the very foundation which is missing. Everything's going to fall apart. It looks like a little crack here, a little crack there. Everything is going to fall apart because of this. The Malbim in a similar way says, imagine when you have a building that is a large building and has no foundation. Now, just remember that skyscrapers were only really invented in the last century. when people realized that you could use steel skeleton structures to hold up buildings. Up till really 100 years ago, buildings were built essentially blocks on blocks, right? And that means to say the buildings couldn't be so high just because of the sheer weight. So it says the mob, imagine building a very heavy wall or built or structure, but there's no foundation underneath it. So the stronger and the more fortified it is, the more likely it is to crumble. Why? Very simply, because it's so heavy. The Malbim says, if you don't have a foundation of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then no matter how strong your fortifications are, the stronger they are, the more likely they are to fall. Move on to the next section. So the Yeshayahu now says, Ka'amar Hashem Elokim Kadosh Yisrael. Again, Hashem the Kadosh Yisrael says, that b'shuva v'nachas tivosheun b'shketu v'tcho tiyu gvoraschem v'lo avisem. You know where you could have found strength? You could have found strength in not wanting war, in not seeking coalitions, but you didn't want that. And he says so poetically, v'tomre lo, you said no, ki al sus non nus. You said, we're going to flee on horses. We're going to go to Egypt, which of course is the acclaimed area to breed the Egyptian steeds. Al kain to nusun, so you will flee. Al kal nirkav, you said we're going to ride on chariots. Al kain yikalu rod fechem. Therefore, those who are chasing you will have light foot to follow you and chase you down. Meaning to say, you trusted in the military might. You thought you took the choice of war, military protection against Hashem's protection, which is lying low and knowing Hashem will protect you. Well, then in the end of the day, you're going to remain ketoren al rosh ahar, like this lone flag on top of the mountain, nothing supporting it, nothing congregating around it. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to leave you in your spot, in your place of difficulty, until you get through it, and then only after that, because Ki Elokei Mishpat Hashem, Ashrei Kol Choichei Bo, praiseworthy are those who wait for Hashem. Then Yeshayahu says, well, that's what said the villages around Yerushalayim. But what about Yerushalayim itself? So apparently Yerushalayim itself, of course, as you saw in the times of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, was the bastion of success. Ultimately, it did succeed despite the fact that its fortifications were not so strong. Says Yeshayahu, it'll come a time in Yerushalayim when you won't need to cry out to Hashem. Hashem will provide for you little sustenance, meaning Hashem is not going to give you huge vats of food, but that'll be enough for you. And because of that, you're going to face Hashem, in the famous pasuk, "V'lo yikonef od morecho." You're not going to hide your face from your Creator, from your Master. "V'al yu einecho morois morecho." Your eyes will see your Master. Meaning to say, when you can stop looking around at those who can help you, stop looking for other ways to escape the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you'll actually see Hashem. And on that day, you will hear HaKadosh, you'll listen to the voice of Hashem, which is behind you, telling you to go right or to go left. Meaning, Hashem's voice isn't out there, it's behind us, it's right within our reach. And you will, at this point in time, he describes how you will impurify the gods of silver, the gods of gold, your fancy clothes, all things which you relied on, which you trusted, all those things which were made you, gave you your sense of self-identity. At this point in time, there will be rain, the crops will succeed, the animals will have what to feed on. Even the crops the animals eat will be the best of crops. There'll be very little chaff on the grains. There are the tops of hills, there'll be canals of rain, kanapalge mayim. It's a beautiful description of success at this point in time, and in such a crazy way, Yeshayahu says that there'll be these pools of rain. Al kol givon nisha pelagim yivlu mayim. There'll be all this rainwater which will fertilize the crops. Biyom hereg rav bin ful migdalim, on the day of the falling of towers, and the day of the falling of the many, and the death of many. What this is referring to, of course, is the death of the troops of Sancheriv, meaning Chizkiyahu HaMelech did not seek military success, military help in coalitions from others. The times of Yerushalayim was not such a fortified city. It will succeed against Sancheriv, and on that day, the bracha of sustenance will come on the same day as the bracha of destruction of the enemies. And in the final closing pasuk of this particular section, Yeshayahu says, "V'yor ora levonok ora chama." The light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. "V'yor ora chama yashivasayim kor shivasayim." And the light of the sun will be like the light of the 7 days. What exactly does this mean? So the Mitzvah David says very simply, that means to say that there'll be this, you know, so it's a metaphor or a hyperbole, an exaggeration of great success, because there'll be such success at this point in time. However, interestingly enough, this actually comes into an interesting debate, which is found in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Aleph of Beis, in which there's a discussion about whether the Yemos Mashiach will be supernatural or natural. This pasuk sounds seems to say that really this is referring to supernatural. The Gemara responds by saying, no, not really. That is, Meaning to say, as Rashi explains in that Gemara, that there'll be a seeming greater light to the world, that's the times of Mashiach, but really when the actual physical reality will turn around, that'll be the times of Olam Haba. The Malbim points out in a different kind of vein that night is always the expression or the metaphor for galus, for exile, and day is the expression for geula. So what he's saying is the night will be lit up by the moon in such a powerful way that the galus, all the darkness, will disapparate in the presence of the greater light of the moon. And even the day, even the geula, will be so powerful, so much more powerful than it ever was. It will be like Yeshivas Yemei Bereshis, like the sort of that crystal clear moment in creation at the beginning of time. Finally, the last section in this parak is describing the destruction of Assyria in poetic terms, and it describes how Hashem will come, and it's very, very poetic descriptions of he'll come in fire and anger, his lips filled with rage, his mouth with consuming fire, right? And it's describing how Hashem will destroy the nations. In the most moving parable, it describes how Hashem will win over the nations, right? But at the same time, there'll be no good grain which will fall down. It'll all be chaff. In other words, all of the Syrian army, Sancheriv, will all die because of their sins. There'll finally be justice. And Akash Baruch Hu notes, Ki aruch me'esmol tofte, gam hi la'melech uchan hemik harchev. Hashem prepared Gehinnom. Hashem prepared this place that'll be meted out punishment after death for these people, which is prepared from time immemorial, from day two of creation, all the way till now, waiting for even the Melech, even for Sancheriv himself, when finally justice will come. And it's interesting, if you put the two parts of this parak together, you notice that there is a parity. If you seek out military, direction for fighting against your enemies, ultimately you'll lose. If you seek out Hashem, you allow Hashem to take over, you will succeed. That seems to be the general picture over here. Last point is the Radak points out that in this last section, Hashem says you'll sing on festivals. What does that mean? Radak says that the Geula will come on the first night of Pesach. That's one of the Kabbalists we have. That'll be at the times of Nissan that are said to be Goel Be'ezos Hashem. We should see it soon. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.